Hey, how's it going? This is Braden with Noble Sports Guys. Sadly, the other Braden couldn't join us today. He's visiting family in Idaho and I think is going snowmobiling this weekend. But today I am privileged to have, from Breaking Down the Tape, Zachary. How you doing, Zach?
Doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
We've been trying to work this out for a couple weeks, but I mean, life happens. You're busy, I'm busy, so I'm excited to kind of get this going.
Yeah, man, for sure. We've been talking about it for a minute now, you know, but the holidays are the holidays. Everyone's got family, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, before we jump into it, how was your holidays?
It was good, brother. You know, staying home for Christmas itself, you know, visited some family on Christmas Eve. Unfortunately, I work retail, so I wasn't involved in a whole lot of stuff, which is also nice from some aspects. But other than that, it was good. How about yours?
It was good, too. I also work retail, but luckily, my retail store is closed Christmas Day, one of the few days that they're actually closed. So it was nice. I had to work Christmas Eve, but I'm off by one every day. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, I was off Christmas Day as well. You know, I agree with you there. I'm lucky as far as that goes. But Christmas Eve, I worked until like five. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, Christmas Eve was a little hectic. Both my wife and I's families live here, and we live about 2 minutes away from my parents' house and about 15 minutes from my in-laws' house. So trying to juggle everything was kind of hectic. But, I mean, at the end of the day, my daughter enjoyed it. She understood the concept finally of ripping open the presents. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's always great when they get that.
Yeah, the past couple Christmases, it's been a struggle because she's not really interested, so it was fun. It was a change of pace.
Well, there you go. That's nice, man.
So before we jump into the NFL season, why don't we talk a little bit about your podcast? Give my viewers a look into what Breaking Down the Tape is and what you guys do.
Yeah, so Breaking Down the Tape is as I call it, a raw, real analysis of the game of football. We talk all sports in general, but a large focus of our content is football based. It's just me and my co-host, which is a long time, 15 years at least, friend of mine. We get drunk and we talk about football. We're Jets fans, so we're just generally miserable. So we come at it from that aspect. But yeah, we really just have a good time, just like I said, being drunk and talking sports. You know, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, everywhere that you can type in Breaking Down the Tape, is you're gonna find us.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't, go check out his TikToks. His TikToks are hilarious. And I don't know if you saw my initial TikTok, but we started this trend of picking Disney female characters to be on a football team. So go look at Zach's TikTok posts and go give mine a look. And if you guys haven't sent in your list, do it. I think it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. By the way, kudos to you, because that was an awesome idea and actually far harder than I expected it to be. Like, when I saw it, I'm like, yes, definitely going to do this. And then I sat down and I go to write it all out. I'm like, oh, God, I did not expect this to be as difficult as it was going to be.
So I had a person that I kind of ran and brainstormed with. So I work at Walmart. And
okay.
I work in the fresh areas, and I guess I don't do well with customers, which is hilarious because I think I do just fine. But I'm the one that's in the back. So I'm in the back of the produce room or the back of the meat cooler and putting away stuff. And so is one of my good buddies. His name's Eric. And I brought the idea to him and he was kind of running his players. And people were upset that I didn't put Bell as quarterback. But I felt she's on my defense. I have my list. I just need to put it out on TikTok. So
I saw that one comment about Bell not being the quarterback. And although, let me answer those people for you, at least from my position. Although I think she could, as the one guy said, read a defense like a book, which kudos to that guy. That was clever. I need my quarterback to be, you know, strong. I feel like Bell would be able to, I feel like Bell is like Chad Pennington, right? Like, she can throw a 10-yard slant pretty good. But if you ask her to throw anything past 20 yards, then she's going to be a duck.
Yeah, and when I was thinking of people, I could have gone with Moradell from Brave, but I ultimately decided Pocahontas just because I just remember her chucking the raccoon really far. I'm like, I feel like she's gonna drop bombs on
Oh, for
whoever's.
sure.
So that was kind of my logic behind it. But I mean, to kind of give the viewers a little bit into who I picked on defense, I did put her in as middle linebacker, kind of going off what that comment said. I think she'd be able to read quarterbacks pretty well, so be able to read the offense and kind of make plays. But again, she is small, so.
I mean, I feel like that's a fair assessment, though. If you need a cerebral, like any position on the defense that where you need the most cerebral player, that's Mike linebacker. I can respect that.
Yeah, and that was my position. I mean, I'm a huge fan of linebackers, hard hitting. I mean, Lofo Tatupu is my all-time favorite NFL player. In high school, I picked 51 because I wanted to be like him. And the fact that he listens to my podcast every now and again and I've communicated with him is like a dream come true. But like I feel like the linebacker position, all three of them, it's you win or lose with them.
Fair
You
enough.
can I mean, defensive line too. I will say the trenches are crucial, but I mean, I think Bobby Wagner is the reason why Seattle's defense isn't completely horrible. So.
I mean, yeah, I'm definitely more of a trenches guy, but I do want to just stop on real quick that subtle and humble flex that you just had. Way to name drop and like, yeah, no big deal, but I have an NFL player listening to my podcast. No stress, no worries. I appreciate that. Good for you, brother. I'm proud of you.
So I want to give him a quick shout out just to tell you how awesome of a guy he is. And if you don't follow him, recommend it. So my grandpa is an OG Seahawks fan, like from day one. Like he just turned 94 on the 17th of December.
God bless.
Lofo, yeah. Lofo, I reached out to him just say, hey, would you mind saying happy birthday to my grandpa? Him being an OG Seahawks fan, like I'll even pay you. Like I will give you money, like to do it, just because I think it would be cool. Lofo said, "No, I'm not going to take any money, and I'll do it." And he came in clutch, and my whole entire Seahawks fan family was like in awe. They're like, "How did you do that? Did you do it on Cameo?" I'm like, "No, like this is a connection I made for my podcast. Like, super genuinely nice dude. His podcast is hilarious. They just got sponsored by Simply Seattle."
There
If
you
you
go.
guys don't already follow them, I recommend following them. They make super comfy hoodies for bigger guys. I mean, I'm a big dude in it. I feel comfortable in their hoodies. So,
That's awesome, man. Hell yeah.
yeah. So, I mean, and kudos to you and congratulations. I saw you got another sponsor, which is awesome. I am envious. Like, it's impressive what you guys are doing. I admire it.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, StreamYard, by the way. So our two sponsors, Aviation Gin and StreamYard. Yeah, so I just I'm a big fan of shooting your shot. I message people, man. I'm a salesperson. So my company that I work for Sleep Number. So if you're looking for a bed, hit me up. But I'm all for shooting your shot because what's the worst they can tell you? No, or just leave you on read. So that's just kind of how I happened with both of them. It's just like you did with Lofa, is just shoot your shot, man.
Yeah, I mean, the worst I can say is no or leave you on read. And I mean, and the amount of connections you can make, because I feel like there's a universal language we can all speak. It's kindness. But I think sports is also a part of that universal conversation for the most part.
Oh, for
Even
sure.
my wife, who is like illiterate with sports, she doesn't understand them. She kind of gets the bases. She knows the big names. So it's, you can connect with people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, you being a Jets fan, we'll jump into this.
Oof.
How did you feel about drafting Zach Wilson?
So, originally, I didn't really know much about him. So upon doing my research and looking into some things, I actually like not gonna lie, right away I hopped on the hype train. So I wasn't too upset that they went and got him. Obviously we had just come off of a couple seasons with Sam Darnold, and I hated Darnold from the rip, from ever since he was at USC. So I didn't think this could be any worse. There was a lot of things that I liked with him. Obviously the turnovers have been an issue, but they're not what I call scared turnovers. It's not like Sam, who can't read a defense and just kind of throws it up there, praying to God someone on his team catches it. Zach trusts himself a little bit too much. which I think is a major problem. But, and I hate saying this because I hate when people are reactionaries, but there is a lot of Aaron Rodgers-like qualities to Zach Wilson that make me excited for him.
See, I was a little hesitant just because I am a BYU fan. I've been following them since I was a kid, and he played with us for 3 years. And the first two seasons, there was a huge hype train with him, and he was all right. Like, he wasn't amazing, but wasn't terrible. He had a couple injuries, and our backups came and stepped up and played, I thought, better. So when he showed up, I mean, granted, he showed up at the right time, a COVID year. BYU's schedule was cupcake, to say the least. I mean, but that wasn't their fault. It was because all the big conferences didn't want to play, and BYU was like, we'll play anyone, anywhere, name it. And they did really well. They went, I think, 12-1. So,
right.
And he's had moments of brilliantness, and then he's had moments where he struggled. I feel like at the very beginning of the season, he played a couple of stellar defenses, like pass defenses, that is. And I feel like a lot of his turnovers came when he played those defenses. But
oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, even from the rip in the Sam Darnold revenge game against the Panthers, I mean, that was one of, at the time, like a top 10, top 15 pass rush. And if you watch the game, I mean, he was running scared the entire game. From the snap, he'd get the ball. Ball would touch his fingertips, and he'd already have to be on the move because the pass rush was there. You know, so it forced him into a couple of dumb throws. And I think especially early on in the season, he liked to do what I call wearing the cape. He tried to wear the cape too much and be Superman. You know, so he'd avoid a sack and keep his eyes downfield, keep his eyes downfield, keep his eyes downfield, and eventually get sacked for 10 yards or not see the underneath, you know, linebacker or the trailing corner and get baited into a bad throw. Or he would trust himself a little bit too much on the sidelines and think he had the arm strength to zip one in before the cornerback could cover that distance. And it didn't work out for him a lot. I think as the season progressed and he got a little bit older, and a big thing that isn't talked about is LaFleur going back up into the booth instead of calling plays from the sidelines. I think that changed a lot. And I think we've seen him make a lot smarter plays in even just throwing the ball away for a simple completion or incompletion. I think we've seen a lot of growth, and I think that's like the biggest factor that makes me excited for him, is that there's growth. You can tangibly point to, okay, this is his bad games. And then as the season goes on, we see a lot more good games and good plays and good passes, you know, so that growth I think is important.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see him. There's not very many BYU guys in the league, so it was kind of cool to see Taysom Hill and Zach Wilson play against each other. And I honestly, with your guys' drafts, you guys got our draft. I'm a Seahawks fan. And
yes.
that's a very tender subject among Seattle fans.
I can imagine.
I will say that Seattle has been spoiled for like the last 10 years, never having a losing season until this year. And to see all the fans hit the panic button, I'm like, no. Cliff Averill's said it best. He was a defensive end on our Super Bowl team. He said, you don't hit the panic button with one losing season in 10 years. Right. You don't hit the panic button yet. I mean, I think Pete may need to step down or step in a different role. I would like to see a different head coach, but if not, I think he needs to change his play calls. But with your guys' high draft picks, something I think you've got a good running back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been on my fantasy team, and when he was healthy, was getting me points.
Oh, for sure.
I think there's quite a bunch of wide receivers in this draft that I think would be a good fit. Maybe get a wide receiver with one of those top 10 picks and kind of help him out too.
So that's the nice thing. You know, there's a lot of upside, and I know I sound like every Jets fan ever, right? Oh, well, next year, don't worry, we'll be fine. And then we go like 4-13 again. But no, so we've got, you know, a great young quarterback. We've got a great young wide receiver. We've got a great young running back, you know, so we have the core pieces. We've got a good young line. Keep in mind, we were missing Mekhi Becton all season. We've got ABT at the left guard. Connor McGovern has actually turned out to be halfway decent at the center position, which is a little surprising because I'm not a big McGovern fan, you know, so we've got a good line. if we and Braxton Berrios is proven to be one of the most underrated slot receivers and return men in the game right now. So if we can get like, if I can get somebody that Denzel Mims was supposed to be, you know, like a DK Metcalf, like we, at least as Jets fans, we thought Denzel Mims was going to be DK Metcalf. That's what we wanted. If we can get like another big, another threat at receiver, I think our offense is fine. I really don't think there's very many missing pieces. And I mean, Michael Carter is a great receiving back. And like my co-host was talking about, the Jets, like, you can't have a singular running back in this league. But we've got Austin Walters is like our fourth string. We've got Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson. You know, I'm okay with that multiple-headed beast. I really think we need just like a key receiver and honestly an edge rusher. We need to get after the quarterback.
And I mean, you guys played really good against Tampa Bay. I mean, I thought it was your coach that kind of made a bad call towards the end of the game that might have cost you the game. He's come out and said that. So, I mean, I know there's always hesitation, but you guys are on the up and up. Where I feel like Seattle, if we don't make some changes soon, we're trending downward. So.
Yeah, I definitely think, unfortunately, and I don't mean to bash the Seahawks, but I definitely think our franchises are on different momentum swings right now. You know, I unfortunately think you guys were on the losing end of that Jamal Adams trade that you were referencing before. He's a great box safety is the biggest compliment I'll give him. But I just don't think it's really panned out the way you guys want. And, you know, and as a Jets fan, I can speak on Pete Carroll. You know, I hate to be disrespectful, but I mean, he's already failed once in the league. I know we got a Super Bowl this time around, but he also made a really terrible call to not go back to back and make that pass. So I don't know. I don't know if Pete Carroll's future is bright out there in the rainy city, bro.
I mean, I'm ready for change, but I think that's the kind of change that needs to happen. I don't necessarily think we need to get rid of Bobby Wagner or Russell Wilson. Like some fans, they're like jumping on that train. I'm like, it's hard to find your franchise guy. And this is the only compliment I'm going to give the Niners. The Niners have a stellar team. They've got a good defense. They've got great wide receivers. Jimmy Garoppolo is average at best. I don't think he's that great of a quarterback. They're a quarterback away from being an elite team, I would say. So my compliment is they've got all the pieces. Get rid of Garoppolo and their money, I think. So it's hard to find your guy. It's hard to find the quarterback that leads your franchise. Look at how many teams are still struggling to find that guy. Why would you trade him or get rid of him when all signs are pointing that he still wants to play in Seattle? He went on an interview today and said that he wants to win more Super Bowls in Seattle. So whether or not he actually means that is to be debated, but I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous that they're thinking to get rid of either of those guys. Yes, they're set to make a bunch of money, but I mean, when you're at the top end of the league,
well,
fans, you get paid what you're worth.
Exactly. And fans these days are very reactionary, especially fans of winning franchises, right? I mean, we saw Tom Brady miss the playoffs once and everybody was calling for his head in New England. And then he wound up leaving and winning the Super Bowl, you know, and like, especially in those fan bases where, I mean, you've won your division for the last 20 years straight, and you go ahead and complain the one time you don't? Like, come on now. Same thing with you guys. Now, I will say, I do think Russ himself will be better off in not Seattle, in anywhere but Seattle. I think he'll be better off. But no, as a fan base and as a franchise, you definitely want to keep your guy. And in this upcoming draft, there's nobody. I mean, I just don't think any of these guys are the guy. I think any of these guys' ceiling is like Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
So you're not going to find a quarterback, in my opinion. I could always be wrong. I'm not an NFL scout. And they're wrong more times than not. But I just don't see any, like, franchise, this is the guy. We're going to pay him, you know, for 20 years worth of his body. And this is the guy. I just don't see that in this coming draft. So I definitely, unless you can go get Aaron Rodgers, which I doubt, I'd keep Russ at all costs.
And I've listened to a whole bunch of podcasts and a whole bunch of ESPN takes, and he holds all the cards. He has a no trade clause. So it's not like the Seahawks and say, hey, we're going to trade you. And he can say no. Like, yeah. I mean, and that's a nice thing. Where Bobby Wagner is a different story. I feel like I jinxed him because I posted that question on my Instagram. Is he going to break Bobby Wagner's, or is he going to break Ray Lewis's record?
Right.
And then he goes and sprains his knee on the first play of last week's game. So I'm a little peeved with that because he was only 15 tackles away from breaking the record. But I mean, it is what it is. So
yeah, unfortunately, that's just the sport that they play in. Man, is anything can happen at any given time. I mean, look, we just saw Antonio Brown run off the field shirtless. I mean, now that's not an injury, but anything can happen at any time.
That whole thing is confusing in itself, where I'm kind of staying neutral right now. I don't know who to believe because both sides are pointing at each other. They're pointing at each other saying, no, you're in the wrong, you're in the wrong. And, like, the text that Antonio Brown shared looked like they were Photoshopped, but – I mean, he has proof, but I put quotations around that. Like,
so I saw those texts, and to me, they didn't look Photoshopped, but I also don't know. You could easily get a Photoshopped image past me. But it doesn't, like, I read those messages different than, I guess, the entire world. Like, the way I read those messages is, you know, hey, coach, yeah, I'm ready to go. I want to play. I want to contribute. I want to be part of this. I do have an ankle thing still going on, but I want to contribute. And then Bruce Arians' response was something to the effect of, okay, give me a call. We'll figure it out. I want to make you involved in the game plan as much as possible. Like, yeah. All of that seemed extremely reasonable to me. Like, hey, I have this thing that could possibly be a problem, but we're going to get it evaluated on Saturday morning. And if it's good to go, I'm good to go. And I want to contribute. Okay, awesome. Good for you. You should want to. And then your coach turns around and says, yeah, okay, awesome. Give me a call. We'll talk about it. And if you're good to go, I want to involve you as much as possible. Like, all of that seems completely reasonable. And I've seen so many takes that are like, oh, yeah, this proves AB is right. I'm like, shoot, do I need glasses or something? Like, am I reading this wrong? I don't know. I don't know, man. It's gone crazy. And now I guess a model has come out saying that they spent a night together the night before the Jets game. And that he pretty much said, watch me tomorrow. I'm going to do something crazy or something to that effect. Just came out earlier. I don't know. Man. It's just going sideways.
I hate to play this card, but CTE is a real thing. It really is. Like,
oh, for sure.
You see how many players have been affected. And I've written papers in college. I even have an episode about concussions because that's something I am adamant about is – trying to make the game safer without losing all the elements. I think that one hit he had in Pittsburgh, ever since then, it's been a trajectory downhill. Like, I think at one point he was very elite. He was up there, but just too many silly things have happened to him.
So. I definitely agree. It's taken a skyrocket since there. If I remember correctly, part of his scouting report when he was coming from college is the fact that he was a prima donna and had off the field issues. So I feel like there was always some basis of that, you know what I mean? Of that kind of like potential of that drama queen and ridiculous potential. But I definitely agree with you that it has taken a skyrocket since that perfect hit.
Yeah, it's really sad. Yeah, my daughter's trying to get my attention. I don't know if you can hear her. She's got magnets on the piano. on the fridge.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, she's a ball of fire, and I've taught her how to say touchdown, so she'll run around, scream touchdown, and put her arms up. And every time she sees a Seahawks logo, she says, Daddy's Hawks.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And, I mean, it's kind of cool taking a picture with my grandpa because – him starting it out all the way down to her. So, and it's fun talking to him because he doesn't remember conversations very much. So I could tell him an absolute lie about the Seahawks and he'll believe it because he doesn't remember. So,
right. There you go. That's one way to look at it. I mean, hey, look, at least you guys aren't Jets fans, right? Like, it could be worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is disappointing. I'm not going to lie. I had high expectations. And what's even more frustrating is our point differential. We're a positive 28 points. Like in theory, I guess this is how Seattle always plays. Everyone gives them a hard time. but it's usually a one possession game. And the games that we normally win with one possession, we lost with one possession this season. So I guess that's just how the dice falls. And if Russ would have never gotten hurt, who knows? Who knows how the season would have turned out? Because Geno Smith wasn't horrible, but he also wasn't Russell. So,
look, man, I got experience with Geno Smith too. I could go on about that for days.
I'm in five fantasy leagues. Like, I love fantasy football. I think it's fun. I'm in one with my cousins, and I had Russ as my quarterback because they forgot to tell me the time of the draft. So convenient. I had an auto draft team. Well, they told me the time, but they failed to mention that it was Utah time, not Vegas time.
Oh, no.
So I was an hour behind. So I was like, all right, I'm ready for the draft. And it had already finished.
Oh, that's rough.
So, because I have a tendency of not drafting Seahawks players. That's just been my formula, just because I've always been told you get really mad at your own team if they don't get you points. So, fair. Right after Russ got hurt, I was like, you know what? I have faith in Geno. So I picked him up and he crapped the bed for me. So.
See, I generally don't draft Jets players because they're generally horrible. And this is the one time it bit me. I was in four leagues this year, and I was in the championship in one of them. And I went and picked up Braxton Berrios and Amon-Ra St. Brown specifically for the championship. And I'm sitting there. I had Zeke and CeeDee Lamb. Zeke in my flex, CeeDee as a wide receiver. And I wound up not pulling the trigger and not putting in Berrios and Amon-Ra St. Brown and wound up losing because of it, because I was too much of a coward. And I was like, of course, the one time I have a Jets player can actually win me the championship and I don't do it. Great. Good job. Oh, proud of myself.
My buddy had Ja'Marr Chase on his team and I told him, I was like, you never listen to the optimalizer, whatever that thing is, that tells you, oh, this play is better. Because they told him to bench Chase. And he went off and had 55 points and lost the championship because he didn't play him.
Yeah,
He picked CeeDee Lamb over Chase.
Yeah, no, CeeDee Lamb personally hurt me. And the guy I was playing had Chase. In our league, he scored 71 points.
Jeez.
Yeah, single-handedly cash checks, man. Single-handedly.
See, I made the decision after seeing how Rashad Penny had played the last 3 weeks. I was like, you know what? For championship week, I'm going to sign him. And he did not disappoint. He got me like 40 points. So
yeah, he went off too.
Yeah, 170 yards. I mean, it's nice that he's finally showing up. That was the player that we were hoping he would be when they drafted him. So maybe we can re-sign him on a cheaper deal because – I love Chris Carson, but he is a glass figurine. Can't stay healthy.
Yeah, you know, that's a problem with running backs. It's just the nature of the game, right? I mean, you get a guy who, even if he doesn't touch the ball, is still getting hit every single play. And, I mean, we're not talking about giant 300-pound linemen. I mean, running backs are meant to be agile and small and fast. They're getting hit by these linemen and linebackers every single play. They're just not built to last, man. And honestly, you should. I firmly believe if I were to ever be a GM, you never sign a running back off of anything other than a rookie deal, ever. I mean, you get your freaks like, you know, Derrick Henry, but how often do they come along?
I mean, and we got lucky with Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah,
like, that was a trade. Mark my words, though. I'm telling you this now. Tyler Allgeier, remember that name. He's our running back this past season at BYU. Rushed for 1,600 yards and 23 touchdowns. Dude is a killer. He's going to be good.
I'll be looking for him.
I'm hoping he's good because he killed it for us. I mean, the play that really defined the whole entire season, it was early on. We were playing Arizona State. We had thrown a pick. DB was running back, and it was going to be a touchdown. He came running behind the DB, jumped up in the air, and punched the ball out and recovered the fumble. It was impressive. And just he's kind of like a beast mode, those kind of backs, those bruisers. He may not have a long career, but I think he'll get the job done.
I can respect that.
I mean, I wish Marshawn Lynch was still in the league, but it is what it is.
Bro, don't we all, man? He was, yeah, I don't care what team he played for. Even when he was with the Bills, man, he was just such a pleasure to watch. I mean, a guy that big and bruiser to have that kind of like stop and go and nimbleness on his feet was absurd.
Yeah, it's and kind of cool about Marshawn Lynch and Patrick Willis. I don't know if you remember Patrick Willis, but he was a stud linebacker. So, as you know, my podcast focuses a lot on women athletes. And the Women's National Football Conference, they had their championship week in Texas, and both Marshawn Lynch and Patrick Willis were like keynote speakers and watched the championship game. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, that's sick. I didn't realize that.
It's interesting. We're seeing more and more these top male athletes saying, "Hey, you know what? These girls can ball out too." So they're
It's
jumping
about
on the hype
time.
train.
It's about time, man. I mean, these women, as we mutually know Lois Cook from the DC Divas. I mean, you watch them play. They're not, it's not a joke, man. These girls can go out there and hit. And I see now I don't come to her defense because she's a grown woman. She can defend herself and she does, and she's so polite about it, where I very much would not be. But like you see these idiots on like TikTok and Instagram and stuff run their mouths and do you think you'd be able to play in the NFL? And she is so gracious, and she's like, "Well, I don't play in the NFL. I play in the WFA." And she's, you know what I mean? She like she does not rise to the obvious bait. Whereas I'm like, I type out 30 different messages and delete them. Like, listen here, you troll. Any one of those women could easily knock you out. Like they go out there and they're supporting their families and they're playing a sport that we all love. You gotta say something. Why, man? Why? Let these women live their life playing the game that we all love to see. What does it matter?
So my theory behind that is they're jealous.
Oh, sure.
These ladies are living out the dream that they wish they could have. I mean, I'll tell you the funniest thing. So I kind of bounce back between the two leagues, the WNFC and the WFA. The WNFC posted a video of a 12-year-old girl who's balling out. She's quarterback. And they posted the hashtag future is female. I didn't think it was a big deal. It was fine. Like, whatever. Well, you should have seen all the comments. And what was even more frustrating is most of these were dads to girls. We're just saying that's nasty. That's a wrong comment. Try to put them in this situation. Try to put them in that situation. And they're like, no girl could start varsity. I was like, wait, hold on. My high school here in Vegas just had a girl start two games and she played pretty decent. I'm actually going to have her come on the podcast here pretty soon, just trying to get those details ironed out. But like, it was just hilarious. And I made the comment. My wife always tells me this. She's like, I can do what you can do, but in high heels, and then I can do it better. So, and I'm just like, all right. I was
Hell yeah.
like, there's nothing wrong with that. So I just thought it was crazy that guys are that sensitive to a statement, future is female. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, not in the slightest. And it's not, yeah, that whole thing. And I love the premise of your podcast, man. I really do. I love the fact that you're shining light on these amazing athletes and shining light on a section of sports that doesn't get enough light, because it deserves it. I mean, you go out there and put your pads on and go get hit every play. It hurts. It's like some of these guys have forgotten what it's like to play football. Like, come on, man, you weren't a stud. You didn't go win a state championship. So stop pretending like you're some NFL coach or something.
Yeah, and I mean, the question, why don't you play in the NFL? I mean, I'm pretty sure if Aaron Donald hit me, I'd die too. So I'm just saying.
Yo, ain't that the truth? If half of those guys hit me, you know what I'm saying? Like, even it's funny. And I love this comparison. It makes me laugh every time. You'll see, like, Michael Carter, for example, line up, behind Elijah Vera Tucker or stand next to Elijah Vera Tucker in the huddle. And they are such completely different people. Like, I mean, Elijah Vera Tucker is this mountain of a human, whereas Michael Carter is this itsy bitsy tiny, like, munchkin. It doesn't even look like a full grown adult. But yet, if I were to stand next to Michael Carter, I mean, Michael Carter's like, what, 5'10, 5'11? I'm 5'8. He's bigger than me. You know what I mean? Like, even the small dudes out there are still bigger than you.
Yeah. I mean, and I love the comparison, the kicker for the Colts and DK Metcalf. Like, this is the NFL that we play in. You can look like this, or you can look like this and still have a chance to play. Because, I mean,
Yeah.
there are the little dudes like the kicker for the Colts and other people, but it's just funny to me that there are guys like that that are just small-minded.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
So what were some of your biggest takeaways from this past week of football?
Biggest takeaways? The clock has never run out on Tom Brady until it's all zeros. Baker Mayfield is all but done in Cleveland. I know that they picked up his fifth-year option for next year, but I'd be truly stunned if he takes a snap for the Browns next year.
Well, there's rumors that the Browns are going to try to make a push for Russ. Trade Baker Mayfield and 2 first-rounders. I was like, no, I would not. I would not take that.
Yeah, if I was you guys, I wouldn't take that. Hell no. Absolutely not. I wouldn't take that. But if I was the Browns, I would try and do it. I don't blame them. And well, my final takeaway is Ja'Marr Chase needs to be Offensive Rookie of the Year, and if he's not, it's rigged.
Yeah, I agree. But I've got a feeling they're going to give it to Mac Jones just because.
Because he's Mac and cheese. He's Mac and cheese, baby.
He has stepped up. He's out of all the quarterbacks, I think he played the best. I think worst performance was Trey Lance. I think it's hilarious the Niners went and got Trey Lance. I mean, it makes me happy because at least I know we've got 2 wins every season with the Niners.
See, my thing is, you know, A, I'm going to do a little patting myself on the back. I wish there was somebody pre-draft who would have told the world that Mac Jones is the best quarterback to come out of this draft class. I wish there was somebody who would have done that, like myself. And also, no, I think Trey Lance has a potential future. I don't think he'll grow in San Fran at all. But I think he has a potential future to be decent. I don't like the kind of ceiling that most people put on him. But I definitely think the biggest bust is T-Law. I think Trevor Lawrence has always been a bust, and he'll always be a bust.
Yeah, and people will say it's Jacksonville. I don't think it's Jacksonville. That may be a part of the problem, but I've heard people say the same thing about the Jets, and Zach Wilson's doing just fine now. So.
Yeah, no, I definitely think a large part of it is Urban Meyer's being, like, the worst coach since Adam Gase in the NFL. But drops definitely do not help because I'm going back and I'm watching, so I have Game Pass and I'm watching as much football as humanly possible to do some stuff for the YouTube channel. And one of the things I'm focusing on is Trevor Lawrence and all of his passes and everything. And yes, drops are a big problem, but my dude is also an awful decision maker. Like, he's got all the physical attributes. He just, I don't know if his brain cannot catch up to NFL speed. I don't know if, like, it just shuts off mid-play, but he is just not a good decision maker.
I agree. I don't know. And I hope Trey Lance does good, kind of go back to that. I don't wish ill on him just because he is a smaller school, but he plays for the Niners. I have a hard time saying anything nice about Niners just because – I feel like their fans are probably the most delusional fans in the league or up there with Cowboys fans. My best friend's a Cowboys fan, and I apologize, but
my wife's a Cowboys fan. I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I have a couple coworkers that are like, yeah, Niners this, Niners that. I'm like, win a Super Bowl in this decade. Like, don't get me wrong. You guys were a powerhouse at one point, but that was past.
Yeah, Joe Montana's like 80 now. Come on, let her rest.
Like, and what makes it even more happy, I'm like, I'm really hoping the Saints win and the Rams win, because then it means the 2 wins that Seattle had against the Niners actually meant something. Kept them out of the playoffs.
And I mean, yeah, that's a pretty high likelihood that that'll happen, though.
Yeah, because the Rams are actually playing for something, and I kind of hope that Cooper Kupp gets the triple crown. I think it'd be cool.
Oh, I definitely think he will. I think touchdowns is going to be the hardest thing for him to get. I don't know how many away he is right now, but I think he'll come close.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's potential. I know yards, he's about 150 yards shy of beating Calvin Johnson, but I think he's number 5 on the list, which is still impressive.
Oh, for sure.
And for sure. It just goes to show that sometimes quarterbacks just need a change of scenery, because I think Matt Stafford wasn't horrible in Detroit, but it is Detroit.
Right.
So.
Right. And I've been on this Matt Stafford train from the beginning, and I got a lot of hate on TikTok over it. But Matthew Stafford is far better than people give him credit for. And if anybody listening to this tells me about playoff wins and about overall wins, stop it. That's not a real player stat. That is a team stat, not a player stat. I tried to explain that to somebody who was like, look, man, there's 53 men on an active roster, 22 active starters, not including special teams. You think a quarterback is going to drag the entire team to the playoffs? Like, this isn't basketball. You cannot do that in football. Well, then you don't understand the importance of quarterbacks. I'm like, you overestimate the importance of quarterbacks. If you think a quarterback can drag 52 other people through a season to the playoffs, the caliber of competition that they face, no way. Absolutely not.
I mean, to an extent, I will agree. I think Russ does a good job of carrying Seattle. He has done for how many years now? But, I mean, I get a lot of hate for this, too. Put Tyler Lockett or put DK Metcalf on a different team, and I don't think they'd be as good as they are right now. I think Russ makes them better. So that's just my two cents.
I think I agree with you about Lockett, but I don't about DK. There's just something about having like that much of a physical anomaly where you are just that giant and that fast. I just can't imagine that you wouldn't be good anywhere else. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely agree with Lockett, but just looking at like DK's just superhuman like physical abilities, I can't imagine that he'd be bad somewhere.
I mean, I would not hope that, but I think people are hilarious. They're like, he can only run one route. Like, he could do a little bit more than that, and he's also wicked fast.
Right. He's not the world's best route runner, but he can definitely run more than one route.
Yeah. Would you take Deebo Samuels or DK?
I would take Deebo.
Interesting.
And the reason of that is because the other week, 2 weeks ago, I pontificated on our podcast that I find it interesting, kind of the whole Deebo Samuel and Curtis or Cordarrelle Patterson situation. This whole like hybrid running back receiver kind of weird position that's kind of being created right now. Where you see these guys, Braxton Berrios, kind of now with the Jets, filling in these multiple roles and doing it very smoothly and very effectively. Like, yes, we've always seen jet sweeps out of receivers and, you know, ends arounds, but I feel like Cordarrelle Patterson and Deebo Samuel are kind of blazing the way to a new offensive style that definitely highlights these wide receiver / running back hybrids. And because of that, like, multi-use aspect, I would definitely take Deebo.
I guess that's true. Solely wide receiver, though, I would take Metcalf. But with the running back ability, I think Deebo does have that. I mean, it was nice when we played them that he was out. But even Kittle's that dual threat, too. That guy can run. He's got a set of wheels.
Yeah. Deebo Kittle definitely brings a lot to the stage that most other tight ends don't. And I do agree with you. If I was simply looking for purely a receiver with no other – you know, intentions in mind, I would definitely take DK, because if I need to burn you down the field, I can. If I need to, you know, on a 5-yard slant because he can outbody you, okay. You know, I mean, like I said, he could definitely improve on his route running, but I mean, the dude's a giant and he's fast. I'll go ahead and take the loss on route running. That's fine by me.
Yeah, and he can get in the head. You saw that with the Saints game. He got in Lattimore's head a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, because he's a talker. And not that that's a bad thing, but that and just the ridiculousness. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, if I was a professional athlete, like the top 0.00001% of physical specimens in the world, and I am a starting level cornerback, and I get mossed and I get punked by a dude who wears a pacifier as a mouthpiece, I'm going to be mad. I promise. I'm going to be the maddest thing you've ever seen on the planet. just simply by the aspect of looking at how monstrous this human is. He's got a binky in his mouth and he just beat me. Yeah. You know what? At this point, we have to fight. Sorry, yeah. It's nothing personal, but I have to box you now just for my own sake.
I feel like that would be an interesting take. Like, at the end of games, you call out players and you kind of – I know I never played lacrosse. My brother did. Like, after practices, I guess they would do, like, lacrosse boxing where they wear their gloves and had their helmets on and they just box the crap out of each other.
We called apparently, it locker boxing. Yes, I'm familiar.
I mean, having a concept like that, maybe, kind of like an arena-style football game.
Yeah, man. I you know, that's the thing, man. Especially if these are big dudes, big physical freakish humans, and I just to imagine them getting into like an intended physical altercation. Like, yes, I understand that they hit each other all game, but to have a one-on-one, like, hey, I'm gonna punch you in the mouth now, intended physical altercation, people are gonna get hurt.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and I'm rocking my DK Metcalf pacifier hoodie right now, too. So,
I love, by the way, I did not mean any of that to trash talk the fact that he wears has a pacifier as a mouthpiece, because I think it's hysterical, and I think awesome. But I'm just saying, like, if I got beat by that guy, it's personal at this point. Like, we can't be friends off the field. I'm going to beat you. I swear to God, I'm coming into your house in the middle of the night and beating you with a stick while you sleep. Because that's personal.
Yeah. So a couple more hot takes, and then I'll let you get going on your night, because I know it's like, what, 9 o'clock your time?
Yeah, no worries, man. You let me know.
So one of my other hot takes, who do you think's winning the AFC number one seed? Because you know the Packers already have it locked down for the NFC, and right now it's a toss-up. All four teams could still win number Let's one see. Seed.
Who do we have in top? So right now the Titans are in first. Who else is there? We have the Chiefs, the Bengals. Who's the fourth?
I'm having a brain fart.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, so am I. Even if it's just between those three. Patriots? Are the Patriots in the running there? Bills? Question mark?
No, I think it's the Patriots. Oh, it is the Bills. It is the Bills.
Okay.
Yeah.
So definitely not the Bills, and I think the Bills are one and done. There's your hot take. Man, again, trying not to be a reactionary, but just what I saw out of the Bengals the other day, how do you at this point in time look at those teams and say it's not the Bengals? So that's my final answer. I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, they went and beat the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs again are favored to go to the Super Bowl. I think, and I would like it. I think Burrow is sorely underrated. I don't know. That's just my two cents. He's very sorely underrated. And I think it would be cool, kind of a little team, because when you think of powerhouse football teams, you don't think of the Bengals. You don't think of them. That's my take.
No, and I definitely agree with you. But it's kind of ironic that we don't think of the Bengals, because keep in mind, like, Andy Dalton took the Bengals to the playoffs almost every year.
That's true.
Which is, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, because you're not wrong. You don't think of the Bengals and fear immediately gets instilled in you. You really don't. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, they've been in the playoffs more than my Jets have in the last decade, and that's 100% true. You know, so, I mean, I don't know, but just... Looking, you know, Joe Mixon, I'm a Joe Mixon denier, and he has clearly proven me wrong. You know, you've got CJ Uzama, T. Higgins, obviously Jamar Chase, who is just a monstrously freakish wide receiver, who, by the way, I firmly believe has trolled everybody, because preseason he was like, oh, the ball's too big and it doesn't have the white lines. I don't know how to catch a football. And then comes out here and is vying for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think he knew what he was doing and he trolled everybody. For me, it's the Bengals. I mean, you can't look at a dude like Joe Burrow and the kind of swagger and talent he has. And honestly, I don't know how people root against him. I think he's the coolest thing, man.
Do you think he's the comeback player of the year? Do you think he's earned it?
So his only other competition to me would be Dak, and I would say yes.
Dak's had a pretty good year, too. I will give him that.
I feel like Joe, though, just kind of like jumps off the page, and that could be a reactionary after the, 1,000 yards he put up in two games. Yeah, I would say Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and I love his response to what was it, the Ravens defensive coordinator? Like
Yeah,
he
when he
told
was
him
saying,
hardcore.
yeah, when he was like, I don't remember what the Ravens. Oh, let's not put a gold jacket on him yet. And Burrow after the game was like, yeah, he shouldn't have said that or whatever he said.
After he threw like 525 yards or whatever it was, some
Yeah.
ridiculous number.
Well, did
And
you?
I love it when the Ravens lose because we hooping.
Oh my
We
God.
hooping is like the villain of the sports TikTok world. And I love it because he always whines and I'm like, you're a big crybaby.
Can I tell you, I'm so happy he does not show up on my For You page. He never has. I've only seen Wee Hoopin through other people talking about him. And once I went onto his page and was like, oh God, you are. It's got, honestly, though, it has to be satirical, right? Like, that kid's not being serious. I
I
hope.
don't know. I hope he's not that delusional, but you never know because
Honestly.
there are people that still think the Niners are a great team. So I take shots of the Niners for days, like because we own them. We own them just like the Rams own us. I will be the first to admit the Rams own Seattle's number every year. No matter how bad they are, we always suck against them. So.
Some people just have your number, man.
I just love when he gets shut down. My other favorite content creator to watch is, I don't know if you've ever seen Hawk Nest. He's
Yes,
hilarious.
actually. He follows me. We're
He
friends,
follows
we're
me too.
mutuals. Oh, okay, fine. Fine. Some of us can't have humble brags, I see. Yeah, he seems like a cool guy, though.
Yeah, and I mean, if you reach out to him, he responds. That, and that's what I love about these content creators. I mean, Lois, like you said, she's one of our mutual friends. I mean, when I shot my shot, I didn't think she would respond with how many followers she had, and she did, so.
Yeah, oh my God, I could not, I could honestly take up like the next 4 hours of your show talking about just how much of a fantastic, genuine, and kind person she is. But yes, I agree. There's a lot of friends like yourself, my buddy James from Boda, the guys over at Jacked and Canned. I mean, there's just so many people. I hop on lives once a week recently on TikTok since I've been allowed to. With FHS Studios, he's from Southern Cali. The angry degenerate from Cali. I think he's a Niners fan. I think you two would hit it off. But there's, you know what I mean? There's like a great community of guys, that I've met through doing all of this. So it's really been awesome.
And did Rayvon, did they ever make their Disney team? I never saw if they
No,
did.
no. So Brittany is the HBIC over there. She's like the one that you usually talk to whenever you message the app. But she's not like their content creator. I think that Mr. Clark, James Clark, maybe, is their like content guy. But I haven't seen anything come out of them. I might actually try and weasel my way into the ground floor of the operation. Be like, hey, you want me to be your content creator? And you know what I mean? Like, kind of do some stuff for them. So we'll see. They don't
Oh,
know that I
so
plan on reaching out to them yet. They're gonna find out today, though.
I'll tell you, I just got a message on my Instagram. So Lofo Tatufu, he hosts a podcast, and I don't know who runs their Instagram page, but whoever it is, they're hilarious. And they just reached out and said, "Hey, Lofo wants to come on your podcast." So I'm like, "There's that." It's
Oh,
like,
jealous. Jealous.
I'm trying not to fangirl like super hard right now because, like, when
Oh.
I tell you he is my idol, like I worship him when I was younger, like elementary school, middle school, he was the linebacker for Seattle. Like, he was my guy. Like, that was the guy. And last year for Christmas, I got his jersey, and he's like, "Yeah, hey, send it to me, and I'll autograph it." So
That's
I still need to
awesome.
send the jersey, but I mean.
I'll fangirl for you. That's awesome, dude. Good for you, bro.
So we'll see when that happens. But thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you were saying all the things you had this week. I hope You have a lot of fun at that hockey game tomorrow night. That sounds a lot of fun.
Yeah. Me and my dad have started recently going to games and stuff. We went to an Army because I live, so technically I'm in Pennsylvania, but I'm like in that border, like 10 miles from me is New York. So I live an hour from West Point. I've always grown up an hour from West Point, so that's like my local college team. So we're gonna go to a hockey game tomorrow. Like I said, I hopped on live last night. We recorded on Tuesday. Yeah, it's a busy night for me a lot. But thank you for having me on, man. I know that we've been kind of flirting with each other for a while now, so I'm glad that we were able to finally make this happen. And it's been a pleasure. I got to get you on Breaking Down the Tape sometime soon.
Yeah, and we'll have to have you. I think you'd like my co-host Braden. He's hilarious. He's a Steelers fan.
Poor
He
guy.
like I like I he's with family. So he's from Idaho originally. We worked together up in when I lived in Idaho, but he's working as like a tour. He was a tour guide up in Alaska, so he's
Oh,
home
damn.
visiting family. Like, so it would have been, in theory, we would have had Alaska, Las Vegas, and then you all the way on the East Coast. So
There you go.
would have, yeah. So we'll have to have you on for like a Super Bowl, like a pre-Super Bowl show or something like that. But before we go, is there anyone you want to shout out?
Not anybody that we haven't already mentioned, man. Obviously Lois, she's fantastic. Check out her, Lois Cook, cleats and stilettos, wherever you can find her, the WFA, and the DC Divas. They've honestly, she's been like a huge influence and a huge help to all of this. I obviously want to shout out our sponsors over at Breaking Down the or for Breaking Down the Tape, over at StreamYard, because that's where I record. That's where we do everything through. And if you go on any of our socials, you can check out in the link tree our referral code. And obviously Aviation Gin, because I love my alcohol and I'm not really a gin fan, but let me tell you, Ryan Reynolds bought Aviation and it is absolutely delicious. And they don't pay me to say that. I genuinely do like it. But other than
Nice.
that, man, and shouting out you for, like I said before, for getting me on here and for, for us, I'd like to think we're friends. I have great conversations with you, man. Like I said, that Disney thing was a great idea, great topic. So thanks for giving me, at least four pieces of content coming from that. So yeah, again, I appreciate you having me on.
Still got to make a special teams, though. You got to get your kicker and punter.
Oh yeah, you're right. I haven't put out a kicker and a punter. I got you. I got you.
Yeah, and I'll put my my defense here pretty soon. It's so I get off. I work at like 4 in the morning,
Oof.
so by the time I get off, I have my daughter, and I try to be productive after work, but we both lay in the bed and I pass out for like 2, 3 hours.
I can
So
respect that though. I can respect that. I remember those times.
yeah, so it's only temporary until I graduate. Hopefully I can find a place in the sports marketing world, so we'll see. But
There
thank
you
you
go.
again. And if you ever need anything, you know where to find me.
I got you, bro. I appreciate you.
One last thing, give the viewers a piece of advice. That's what I always have everyone. Give
Woof.
your words of wisdom. Could be anything.
Words of wisdom. Always shoot your shot. Always. I know everybody says that, and I know everybody, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, kind of Wayne Gretzky words of wisdom. But let me tell you, I'm moderately successful. And by what I mean by that, it's not like I make a hell of a lot of money. Like I make enough to survive, but I've got an amazing wife. I'm a foster father. I have a son. I have a job that pays the bills. I have something that I stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning most mornings for, but makes me genuinely happy. I've met amazing people like yourself, amazing people like Lois, my best friends over at Jacked and Canned. I've met people from across the country, and I even appeared on an Australian podcast, all because I shot my shot and I took, I did something that made me happy. And that's what I think makes me like so super successful, because I'm happy doing what I do. It's not amazing things. I'm not the president. I'm not, on ESPN, but that's okay. But I'm happy doing it, and that's the ultimate goal. So always shoot your shot, because what's the worst that can happen? They say no, they leave you on red. It doesn't happen. Okay, but at least you get to put your head on the pillow at night knowing that you tried to do something about it. So always go for what you want, always shoot your shot. It's not gonna hurt if you fail, and if it does, it's not gonna last long. All bleeding stops eventually.
Yeah, you're right. And my hat goes off to you. I am a product of adoption, so I think
that's
they're
awesome,
awesome,
man. That's awesome.
And there's a company I'll hook you up with that you might like to work with. I'm starting to work with them a little bit, so it might be up your ballpark. So
awesome. I appreciate that, man.
All right, cool. Well, you have a good night, and I'll let you know when this drops.
Yes, sir. I'll make sure to push it out everywhere I can push it.
Cool, man. Thank you.
All right. You have a good one, man.
You too. Bye.